So this is the meeting of the Budget Committee of the Public Board of Health of Madison and Dane County, and I'll call the meeting to order. And I would like to do a roll call of the members of the committee. Lisa, you're here?
I am here.
Great, thank you. And
that's Alder Pritchett.
Yeah. Okay. And Alder, is it
Pritchett?
Pritchett is yes. Here as well. And I'm Gene Musser, so we have quorum. So let's review the minutes of the meeting of the subcommittee dated April 25th, 2024. Suspecting that we've had sufficient time to review the minutes, I have a motion to approve the minutes or comment on them. And since I may be the only one here who was at the meeting, I'll make a motion that we approve the minutes. Is there a second? Lisa, are you seconding?
Yes.
Thank you. Okay. Any more discussion on the minutes? All those voting to approve the motion, say aye. Thank you. Opposed? None. Okay, minutes are approved. Public comment, I understand that we have no public comment registered for the meeting. And then we need disclosures and recusals. So if either any of the three of us have any conflict, we should report it now. If not, no conflicts reported. So we're going to proceed with the presentation, which is a budget overview presentation. And I suspect that Janelle or others will be doing that.
Yeah, I will start. Can you share the slide deck? Sorry, thank you, Adrian. And when we say overview, it's a pretty high level overview to start given where we are in the budget season right now as Adrian gets the slide deck up. I'll just wait till we get the slide deck going and then we'll talk from there. Thanks. Next slide. So depending on how you look at things, we're in the middle or we're at the beginning of the budget season. And I say that because though we've been working on it for quite some time, the directives have only come out from the city this past Monday to what they're asking departments to build their budgets around. The county provided directives a month ago and we got our shared directive a week and a half ago.
Yeah.
And so I'll talk about that process a little bit more, but in a minute. So every year we submit two budgets, a capital budget, which is our bricks and mortar and big equipment, and then an operational budget. The capital budget information and the deadline to submit that was in late May, early April. And then we do the operating budget, which is where we spend more time talking about it because that's our bread and butter. Next slide. So this year we did have to submit an adjustment to our initial capital budget request from last year to support our new redevelopment in South Madison. Not completely unexpected, as we knew that the dollar amount that we submitted last year was before more of the development process had been moved through. And now we're getting closer to having better estimates of the total cost. So just a reminder, we currently have six storefronts, so to speak, in South Madison. That includes our facility where the violence prevention team works on Fish Hatchery Road. And none of those spaces allow us to deliver our services to the extent that we need to be able to do it concurrently. So we have been looking for ways to expand our footprint and consolidate kind of how we're organized together for a number of years. And when the South Madison Park Badger redevelopment was identified, we were kind of invited, supported, encouraged to be part of that development. So
this is the development that replaces Centro Hispana building, is that right?
Correct. It's that everything on that corner, the Metro, except for the McDonald's, they are not selling. So that is not
going.
That's gonna go. That's not gonna go. So what we have here is we'll have about 165 staff who will have their home base at that facility, but not everyone will be there every day because most of those folks, a lot of those folks provide services out in the field, and it allows us to build out a pretty comprehensive clinic because right now we can't offer sexual and reproductive health and WIC and immunizations at the same time. We can only do one, so it's not very customer friendly. So we're adding $4.8 million to the capital budget request for 2026. We still don't have our final estimate in. It's possible that that may go up. We hope it won't go up that much.
Where are you requesting that from, city or county?
It's shared. And so everything in our budget, with the exception of things that are independently funded by one unit of government or the other, are supported by equalized tax levy. And then we have continued funds to support an electronic health record. We were, we've been working on trying to procure an electronic health record for many years now and have had a couple right and left turns. More recently, we had been working with UW Health and they had indicated that they were no longer able to support that project. So we're back to ground zero with that, but have some things that we're working on. So that will be a really important resource for the department.
How much money do you need for that?
Right now we have about 500,000
budgeted. Is it okay to ask questions?
Yeah, I mean, you can ask them now or later.
Which would you prefer?
Probably later.
Fine.
Well, I mean,
we're done with capital budget,
yeah,
essentially now.
Yeah, so let's talk more about that.
If there's other capital budget questions.
Yeah. So about 500,000.
Thank you.
So this is where we spend the majority of our time because with the next slide,
more time. You could just put it all up. Sorry. One more.
With the exception of the last couple years, sometimes we don't have any capital budget, but because of the electronic health record and the facility, we will have one for a couple years. But most of the time, you'll just hear us talking about the operating budget. So just to kind of orient everyone to where that timeline is, you know, we're managing the budget all year round. We start preparing for the next year's budget in March. When we start reviewing and reconciling the previous year's costs, looking for where we underspent, looking for where costs are rising. And then we get our budget target in either May or June. The city just kicked off their budget. And that's up there because we follow the city financial practices when we submit our budget. And then we have this conversation where we kind of give you an overview of what's going on, and then we'll come back in a month and let you know, talk with you about what decisions we've had to make to achieve our target. And then that gets put into the executive's operating budget, and then we kick off the committee meetings where the opportunities arise for amendments in October before we get to the final budget hearings in November. So Next slide. So again, this is really high level. Wanted to give you a snapshot of where our revenue is coming from and where our expenses are allocated. The city and the county tax levy is split equalized value. Our license fees and permits are primarily through our license establishment and well and septic programs, small amount from other animal licenses. And then the grants and contracts are primarily consolidated contracts from the state and a few others. We are a personnel heavy operation. I thought we had the highest ratio percentage, but actually I learned the other night that fire department's 89% and we are 85% salaries and benefits. And so that's where it gets broken down. Next slide. When you look at the detail on our budget, if you go to the 2025 budget and the city slide deck, you'll see those expenses allocated across these services as the county or as the city breaks down the budgets further for each department. So we have eight services. Is that eight services?
Nine
services, sorry. You can find more detail there. We're not presenting that detail today. We're just talking about where we're at the high level and where we need to go in the next month. So always happy to answer any questions about any of those things.
One quickie question. You know, when looking at the service areas, are these units responsible for providing you with information regarding what it is that they do?
So these services represent, so the department has four different divisions. The divisions are found, the cost centers of the divisions are found spread out across these services because the intent is to be able to provide more granular information around where all of our, the costs of all the different programs are that are found in the department. We don't just have it organized. Services are not just by the division because that's not very helpful to drill down deeper into the way that it represents the work that we do. So all of these services represent work from program supervisors within the department and division directors to manage their budgets every year to deliver their services. And that's what you'll see in these service areas. Does that answer your question?
No, not quite. Because if, you know, if I had to look at, let's say I'm managing my house and I know that perhaps I have people come in for custodial work, or I have people come in to do landscaping work, gardening mm-hmm. work, or I have people who come in to do shopping, okay? So these are the people who know what they do. They are expert in those areas.
Yeah.
So what I'm asking then is, knowing that we have animal services and there is a supervisory person that's there, knowing that we have environmental protection kinds of things, are we not asking them, you know, to be forward looking and begin to think about what they do such that they can supply you with information regarding, this is where we are right now. We know that the weather's going to be turning bad, let's say in October, November. We got to begin to project, anticipate. So that's what I'm asking, because if they know how much money is coming in from, let's say, federal, state, or whatever, I think they'll be in a much, much better position to say, listen, we can't be able to do that, you know, this time. Perhaps we can look at it, you know, ahead towards spring. there's some things that happen in the springtime, you know, that can allow us to save for this or for that in the fall or in the summer. That's what I'm asking. I'm asking for not only looking at autonomy with these different groups, but I'm also asking for accountability with respect to them being able to anticipate what they need and what it's going to cost. That's what I'm asking.
So yes, that's what you see in this when we get to the end and our budget's published. If you go back a slide, two slides, please. If we go back to this slide, that timeline, part of what you're talking about happens in this March to June, where all of our program managers work with our finance team to reconcile their costs from the previous year, mm-hmm. to start looking at what those costs are for this current year and what they might be for the next year in order to fulfill the requirements of the services that they provide. So that's what's happening in March to June. June to July, after the budget, after we've gone through that exercise, those budgets then come to our executive leadership team for us to then review further, ask some critical questions, and maybe potentially make some decisions around, like, is that where we have the resources to invest or not? So that process happens. I mean, it happens all year round, but specifically around focused on the budget build in this reconciliation, planning, and then budget mm-hmm. creation for the following year. So if you go now to the services, for example, you'll see Animal Services has its own program with its own supervisor, and it's unique in the department, so it has its own service line. Disease Control and Prevention represents a number of different programs that the Public Health Department provides that it range from STI screening, communicable disease case management, tuberculosis, immunizations is in there as well, I think.
Well woman program.
And so all of those programs are then found in that service line where those conversations have been happening. But we are unable to have a service for every program that we deliver because that would be more than 40 different service areas. Next slide. So when we think about the kind of broader landscape of where the health department, what we operate in right now, in 2025 and beyond, we know that all of our COVID funding that we received starting in 2020 and the Recovery Act funding has ended. Much of those resources, the majority of those resources supported the creation of a number of project positions. Nine of those project positions have ended because the grant funding has ended. Some of these project positions I'm going to talk about in another slide will continue because we've been able to create some savings in order to sustain them. We don't know what's going to happen for public health once the federal budget is finalized. We only receive $2.5 million about in federal funding annually, which is a small percent of our total overall budget, which is good news. And I'm cautious just because I don't know where resources will be reallocated and how things will have a bigger ripple effect. I mentioned, you know, we've been able to strategically use grant funds over the past couple of years to create a larger savings account. We are one of very few agencies who have their own fund balance And so we have our basically our own savings account that we have access to with the permission of our legislative bodies. We do have been trying to use that strategically to provide resources for the health department in the terms of personnel primarily. That fund balance is currently $11 million as we will be as we end 2025. We don't have
$11 million at the end of 2024.
Oh, so I'm
currently
sorry.
Right now, yes. It's 11 million.
We don't have access to all of that 11 million because some of it's already accounted for the license establishment reserve, for the requirement in our intergovernmental agreement that we have a 5% reserve as per the city and county's direction. We have some very specific savings in there because of for two different programs.
Two
programs, our sexual reproductive health program and the WIC program, because of resources that landed very, very late in the year in 2022 and 2024, that didn't allow us to spend those resources before the end of the year. So we were able to put them into savings to use for in the future. So any questions on that? We'll just take questions as we're at the slide. I think it might be easier.
When you talk about the $2.5 million federal.
Yeah.
So that includes stuff that came through DHS.
All comes through federal, DHS.
Wherever it came from.
Yeah. That includes the largest singular chunk of that is for WIC, and then smaller amounts for a variety of different programs.
Are those monies, are those different services? Let's say, for example, let's look at WIC, okay? And let's look at, monies for STDs. Or let's look at monies for vaccinations. Is that one pot of money, or?
It's all specified to the program that it is assigned to.
Okay, so now let's suppose then that there are monies that were not used, let's say for WIC. So what happens to that money? I mean, do you save it? You said
there's a couple different things that could happen. It could, we could come here and ask you to reassign that across to different budgets over the course of the year. If we're like, oh, we have some underspending here during the course of the year, but we need some more resources here, we might come in front of the board and ask for that permission. If it's underspent at the end of the year, it will go into that fund balance.
Because that's what I'm getting at. You know, it's like looking at and going back to the house thing. And I know that, maybe this furnace is going to go out. You know, it hasn't gone out yet, but I got to have some money here for that. But so it doesn't go out. But let's say the refrigerator goes out. Can I take the money from there and put it over here?
We can.
Okay.
Some of which we can do that, I think, under the amount of $50,000 without asking for permission. Fits in a small amount.
So there's a lid?
And that without asking for permission.
Okay.
There's a small amount that we can move without asking for that legislative policy approval. For larger amounts, we need to ask for approval to do that.
Okay.
Yep. Next slide. So all of that kind of leads us to where we're at today. So the county, compared to last year, where the city was facing a deficit of 22 million, 20 some million. And the county was not facing a structural deficit. Our lives are flip-flopped this year. The county is facing a structural deficit and the city is balanced as we start the year, though both are quite concerned about where the federal budget may have additional impacts. So as a result, the city and the county then have a conversation to say, we're doing this for our county departments, we're doing this for our city departments. What are we going to do for the health department? Because they're both our leaders, our units of government, and this is where we landed. So the shared directive that we have is that no new positions. The city has said, unless you can reallocate any current funding to support positions, the county has said no new positions. We'll have conversations about that for public health if we get to that place. The county has made it clear that we need to find a 4%, submit a budget that reflects a 4% reduction of their county levy. For public health, that's $541,000 that we need to identify to reduce. And both annually, some of that, as I mentioned, the fund balance, often, but not always, the city and the county say, we are going to take some of that fund balance because that is levy, and we are going to apply that to offset any current or increased levy contributions for the health department. Any questions?
Did that become worse if the federal funding became worse?
The levy? Which part?
The revenue coming to you through the counties.
I mean, I think nobody knows what's going to happen.
So it could be, but who knows? Fine.
Yeah.
We're screwed. We're screwed.
You said it. next slide. So here's where we're at. So this year for 2026, when I say this year, I mean for the budget that we produced this year for 2026, the city and the county are going to be taking some of that fund balance in the form of $700,000 to offset levy contributions. We have lost some funding in an immunizations grant that supports a position. We're asking to use some of that fund balance to replace that grant to sustain that position. And then what we had been planning on for a number of years, because much of the funding that we received during COVID was to support public health infrastructure. And we created positions to support public health infrastructure and, to be honest, to meet critical needs within the department. We're going to be asking to use $1.25 million of that fund balance to sustain these 8.5 positions across that are project positions across the department in 2026. Any questions? So, next slide. Outside of those items, we know that we have to look at the budget and come back with decision, like recommendations for decisions about how to close that 4%. Ways that we, might consider doing that are through contracts that we manage, because the directive from both the city and the county has been to preserve and protect positions as well, and to achieve that 4% in ways that hopefully doesn't have an impact on staff. So there's things that we can do, review contracts that are solely city county funded, We can look to where we've had underspending in travel and training. Our travel and training budget, we could make recommendations to leave positions vacant or unfund them that are currently vacant. Presently, we have a very, very low vacancy rate in public health, and that's always something I'm loath to do because it's not so easy to get a position back. But it is a reality if we have to make a possibility. Look for redundancies, and this is kind of the, are we doing things programmatically that perhaps we should not be doing anymore because there's other folks that could be doing those, or we've grown out of that as a community. And then always we can achieve that 4% by increasing fees. So those are some pathways. I don't have recommendations on that yet because if you go back to the beginning, when I said we can either be early in the budget season or mid-budget season, because the city just released their target, though our managers have been working on this for quite some time, we don't have all of those programmatic budgets in a place that we're reviewing for another. We're just still putting them into our system to then review them as a leadership team over the course of the next couple of weeks. So we'll have to take a look at that. Then there's always increasing fees. However, the place that we mostly increase fees is in our licensed establishment program, which is already not levy supported. So we will be asking to increase fees. This fee increase does not really help us out with that 4% because that doesn't touch levy. And I'm happy Bonnie's here if you have questions about the licensed establishment fee increase, but this is for renewal fees for the 4,400 establishments that we inspect every year.
When you say it doesn't touch levy, I didn't quite understand what that meant.
Yeah.
It's still dollars coming.
It's dollars coming, but because the licensed establishment program is largely not fee supported, I'm sorry, it's not levy supported.
Okay, right.
The fees support the program.
Program revenue.
It's program revenue.
Right.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah.
So when you look at the pathways, okay, for reductions, out of all of those that are listed there, where do you see you getting the biggest bang for your buck?
That's a loaded question right now. I mean, honestly, none of those. There's different ways I can answer that, if I'm being quite frank. Leaving positions vacant could do that easily when we're talking about achieving a 4% reduction. Three positions would probably accomplish that reduction. That may not be the right decision to make given what the needs are and how do we support delivering services in the department. So it's not that there's a dollars and cents bang for a buck, and then there's a how are we ensuring that we're not compromising further services and programs that we offer.
Because if you look at redundancies, you know, what are you expecting from that? You know, let's say, for example, this particular position or this particular, you know, I mean, I don't want to say pathway, but have we taken some time to go back and perhaps, you know, reassess or reevaluate what is unique or specific to that particular thing?
That's what that means. Yes.
We can do.
That is the conversation that we'll be having, and we'll be pushing on around, like, do we need to continue to do this piece or this entire service, or are we uniquely situated to do that, or are there others who could do that more robustly or are also doing that and we can support? So those are the conversations that may happen when we're looking for redundancies.
And are there services there that kind of intersect with others?
Say more about that.
Pardon?
Say more about that for what that means to you, like within the department or within the community?
Well, you know, if I am, let's say, working with WIC and someone else is working with, do you get SNAP?
We do not offer SNAP.
No SNAP? Okay. So if I'm working with WIC and I'm also working with, let's say, vaccinations, okay, at some point in time, vaccinations will have an impact, let's say, on food, okay, WIC programs. That's an intersect. I mean, they are parallel, but at some point in time, they intersect as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so have we begun to look at how some of these services,
yes, yes,
kind of intersect, and then look at perhaps looking at savings from doing.
Yeah, this is the age-old question in public health when we're an industry that has fewer resources than what we need to deliver,
mm-hmm.
do what we're being asked to do. And a conversation that I'm having at a state and national level is like the public health profession and our system is underfunded by more than half of what it should have,
mm-hmm.
right? So this is not a just for reduction conversation that
yeah.
we have. And have had different ways of approaching those intersections within the department over the years. So that is part of it. From just to be really, from the requirements of subject matter expertise of each of those programs, though, it's not very easy to build bigger more specific intersections, because then it takes away from each program. So we have to look at it. If you're talking about service delivery, can we co-locate and have a shared reception area? Yes. Can the same person deliver both of those services? Probably not, because of the requirements of the expertise of each person. If that's just using that as an example for how we're thinking about things. Next slide. We're almost done. Then we can ask all the more questions. So that's kind of the big picture summary of where we're at. This is the pathway to get to November. and all the opportunities for review, approval, amendments, and so on before the budgets are adopted in November. So basically we're at
0.5.
Yeah, 0.5, because our executive team has not yet reviewed all of the program and service budgets yet. Now, each division director has reviewed the budgets of their staff that are managing programs in their division, but that hasn't been fully rolled up for us to have an internal executive team review, which would then start the pathway for that July 18th submission to the city. Before that, we'll have more conversations internally with mayor, county executive, each unit of government's finance directors. We'll come back to you with those recommendations of decisions that we might be offering to achieve our target. That happens before July 18th. And then we start, then we wait for the executives to release their budgets in October, usually around October 1st. Then the city and the county finance committee, city finance, county personnel and finance, start their amendment process. There's a
so
joint
there's
meeting.
No time for them to do some reconciliation.
What do you mean by that?
You know, looking at city and county. You know, this is what we're proposing. This is what they're proposing.
This is what we're doing now. The reconciliation is now.
But
no, but like sorry. if it goes through city different than county.
Oh, that sometimes creates some left turns. Yes. So we have had experiences where something might come forth as an amendment on the city side that we need to go and move into our adopted budget on the county side. There's opportunities to do so all the way up until that November approval hearing. And then if those don't get reconciled in advance of the final vote, we do it in a resolution afterwards. And it goes through the finance system, the process through this, the each city or county finance process. But more often than not, the reconciliation is happening before we get to that November vote. Because we submit budgets that are not, here's your county budget, here's your city budget. We submit one budget that reflects all of that.
When you said subsequent work will come back to you, quote unquote, does that mean this committee meets again or comes to, that's what it means?
We can try to, we'll try to get this committee to meet again.
Before the July
board meeting. Hope if that can't happen, then we would just have this conversation on the full board.
Sure. And do you anticipate budget amendments or is it too soon to know about that? Have you been forbidden to have them? Or just there won't be any?
There's different ways to talk about that. So when like the language is right a little bit euphemistic at times. So a budget amendment, I think, Gene, if I'm hearing, is that within, are you asking that for like if the health department would submit a budget that has an additional request in it? Is that what you mean?
No, I mean,
okay. Once the exacts
okay, come out.
I just want to make sure that we're talking about
submitting
the same
to
thing.
the finance committee,
so,
basically. Or who knows?
We don't know.
Right.
I mean, those amendments are led by our county supervisors or common council members. And more often than not, we don't know that until September, October.
Thanks. Other questions from the committee members? What would you want from us at this moment otherwise?
I think it would be good if you would consider accepting and or approving this presentation, because that sets us up for you providing oversight and asking your questions about us and the process, recognizing this is the first step in that submission.
What's the verb? Accept, approve, have heard?
Approve.
Thank you. So could I have a motion to approve the presentation as presented?
Should you want to approve?
Mm-hmm.
Is that you, Lisa?
Yeah, so moved.
Okay, thanks. Now, second to the motion? I'll second it. Further discussion on the motion? All in favor of the motion? Aye. In favor?
I have an ask, but it's...
Sure, we need discussion on the
discussion
motion, please. That's what I asked for.
Aye.
You want to ask now?
I do have an ask. And the ask is for the different services and the person who is responsible for leading or supervising that particular service to be able to, and I don't want to say outline because it's not an outline, but it's at some point in time, you have to defend what it is that you want to do. And in defense, in doing that, you can have consequences if we do it and consequences if you don't. And so if those units then can specify, this is what we want to do, and if we don't do it, this is what happens, and if we do it, this is what happens. That way, I think you really solidify, and it's more powerful if you've done that. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you know, you say, well, maybe, you know, and that doesn't work. But to defend it and then have them refute it, you know, that's what they have to do. Persons that's going to say, this is what we're going to do. So that is my ask.
Where do you want to see that happen?
With the different units that are there.
But I'm sorry. Like,
in what setting?
In what setting?
The people with the very people who are delivering the service.
No, I'm sorry. Do you want, that's what we do. Mm-hmm. In our executive team. Mm-hmm. That's how we operate. Are you asking to have that in front of this body as well, or prepared when we go to budget hearings?
Prepared.
Okay, perfect.
Yes.
Happy to do so.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Other discussion on the motion? All in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Lisa? Okay. Opposed? No? Okay. 3-0. Other discussion, I guess. That's the end of the presented.
Oh, I think we'll just go back and review our timeline and then probably start asking you for another
budget meeting.
Subcommittee meeting just when we sync that up and
okay.
Do the like what's on paper and then what's realistic for the department because there's always... We're asking people to submit, we're asking to review, and then we need some wiggle room there to...
So the meeting would likely be early July.
Early July.
Okay.
Early to mid.
Other comments from the committee members? So I have a motion for adjournment. Thank you. And a second?
Second.
I think Lisa moved for adjournment, I believe, and Alder Pritchard. All in favor of the motion? Aye. Okay. Opposed? No. Okay. We are... adjourned.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Lisa, for being here. Bonnie and others.